Mukunda Kiri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturam Kijai Vasami Kijai Yuvanamai Kijai Shimani Balasadevi Kijai Samadeva Bhakta Vrindi Kijai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari. All glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, Om Magadanta Vidandasya Gadanjana Shilakaya Chakshurun Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who has so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So tonight, or this afternoon, we are going to speak about how to connect to Krishna and why should we connect to Krishna. So it's an interesting presentation. So there's Krishna, if you haven't figured that out. And there's Srimati Radharani. So we talk about something called a whiffim. Anyone's heard of the word whiffim before? Whiffim means what's in it for me. Because that's generally how we're all thinking, you know, what do I get out of this? You know, so many of you come here to the Sunday program because what's in it for you is a meal. Some of you come to the Sunday program because what's in it for you is some spiritual information. Some of you come to the Sunday program because what's in it for you is you get to be with your friends and talk some prajalpa for a while. Anyway, there's a variety of reasons. So we're going to talk about what's in it for us in Krishna consciousness. And of course, we're going to make reference to Srila Rupa Goswami's with him in Krishna consciousness. What's in it for me in Krishna consciousness? So the first thing that's in it for us is called kleshagni, which means relief from what? Distress, right? So unfortunately in this world, and you know, I love to be positive, but I have to tell the truth too. I can't always say, we got the best world, this is the biggest world. This making reference to someone else. Anyway, we're the best. You know, it's nice to be positive, but sometimes you have to tell the truth. Probably all the time you should be telling the truth. So the truth is that there are these kleshas in this world. Klesha means disturbances. Disturbances means no matter how good everything is going, ultimately it'll go south. And we're not talking about Australia or New Zealand or any place like that. It's in the south. What goes south means it's going to end. No matter how good a time you're having, it's going to end there for a while. And of course, we know the miseries of this material world, adiatmic, adivodic, adidaivic, miseries from other living entities, miseries from the material nature, and miseries from our own body and mind, especially as we get older. Right? That's a personal thing. So, Krishna consciousness can relieve you from all those things. I mean, how does it relieve you all these things? You know, you may look at me and say, hey, you're still getting older, guy. However, the body's getting older, but I realize, guess what? What do I realize? No, I mean, eternal soul, part and parcel of Krishna. And that's something what I'm not. I realize that I'm part and parcel of Krishna, full of bliss, if I realize my eternal spiritual nature. So, wow, that's a relief. Isn't it a relief? I realize I continue to live after the end of this body. And I realize that in the spiritual world I get a spiritual body that's full of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. That's a relief too. Wow, okay. So relief from all distress. This, of course, is when you reach perfection. But even as you're achieving different steps in the progressive march of devotional service, you do start to experience this relief from distress. At least you know there's something better waiting for you. I know many times I've been speaking to people who are getting ready to leave their bodies. We're not going to use the word die, because Krishna says that the jayate mriyate bhagadachan, that the soul doesn't die. And what I usually tell them when they're getting ready to leave their body is not get out of here. No, but I or the Yamadutas are coming. No, I don't tell them that. I said, there's something better waiting on the other side. And they say, wow, that's a relief. That's a big relief. So that's the first thing. And then another with him is that Krishna consciousness or pure devotional service gives you all auspiciousness. Auspiciousness means being closer to Krishna. Krishna is the source of all pleasure. Why do we use the word Krishna to refer to God? Of course, that's his name. But the word Krishna means, Krish means to attract, and Na means two things. It means Ananda, give you bliss or happiness, and Na, to negate all the material misery. So the more you become Krishna conscious, the more you connect with Krishna, the more happy you become, the more full of knowledge you become, the more you realize your eternal spiritual nature. The next with him is very interesting. It's called Moksha Lagu Krit. That you don't even want what's called liberation. Liberation means, get me out of here. It is so bad. I want relief. Of course, in the material realm, that's the happiness. We get relief from distress for some time. There's some pushing. For example, some of you may be hungry and in distress right now, and when you eat prasadam a little later, you'll be relieved from that distress. You'll feel, wow, thank God. So moksha is something similar, but it's long-term relief from, let's say, anything, or not only distress, but it's relief from personal interaction, it's relief from desires, it's relief from everything. You just, like, let's say you're under anesthesia. That's what impersonal liberation, which is sometimes described as merging into the absolute, is like anesthesia, spiritual anesthesia. You don't experience anything for a long time, and then Aruya Kachena Param Padam. You then come back to this world, and then you have to experience it again. So a devotee is not interested in this impersonal liberation, which is inferior to God realization. Krishna says in the Gita, Brahmano hi pratishtaham. I am the source of this Brahman. Krishna is the supreme Brahman, but the impersonal Brahman is simply his effulgence. So devotees and intelligent people don't want to merge into that effulgence, because when you merge into that effulgence, you got nothing to do. It's boring. So devotees don't want that, so that's another with him. Another one is, not that you get diamonds, of course that would be nice too. We definitely build a big temple for Krishna if we have enough diamonds. But it's rarely achieved. Now, you may say, well, that's very discouraging. Rarely achieved. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita several things in that same line. What does he say? Manushanam sahasreshu kaschit yatati siddhye. Yatatam api siddhanam kaschit maham veti tatvata. And many, 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 many people. One may be endeavoring for perfection, and out of those many, 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 many people, one may know Krishna in truth. Wow. Another one is, Bohunam janmanamante gyanabhamam prapadyate vasudeva sarvaniti. That it's very rare to know Krishna after many, many births. Well, guess what? We have a special dispensation. And that dispensation is called Krishna Nam Sankirtan, which has been given to us by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the Yuga Avatar, teaching the Yuga Dhamma Dharma. So, although it's rarely achieved, we can achieve it by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and his associates, such as Srila Prabhupada. And here's the next with him. It's called Sananda Vishatma, which means bliss. See this lady? She's completely immersed in the holy names, experiencing bliss. And then finally, Krishna Karshani. That by Krishna consciousness, you can attract God, you can attract Krishna. That's pretty nice, isn't it? And in fact, if you become a pure devotee, you can control God. So what's better, to be God or to control God? Anybody know? Control God. Because if you're God, it's kind of difficult to be God. Imagine all these people praying to you all that time. You're in everyone's heart and everyone's saying, I would like a new Tesla. Please, get rid of this person at work so I can do a better God. Or like my mother prays when she used to drive a car, please God, find a parking space for me in New York. Actually, I was just with her yesterday and she told me, I believe in God because when I used to drive, I used to pray and it was always a parking space for me. So anyway, God is sort of like bombarded by all these requests continually. And it's better to control God. Of course, when one comes to the point of pure devotional service, one controls God only for his pleasure. It's not that one orders God around, you know, please do this, please do that for me. So these are the benefits of pure devotional service, Krishna consciousness. So the question is, how do I get there? You know, how do I accomplish this? Of course, it's very easy. You may say, you can say it's easy, but it doesn't sound easy to me. So there's two simple rules. You only have two rules. No four regulative principles. Sorry about that. What is it? What are the rules? Always remember Krishna. Always remember Krishna. We're going to talk about how to always remember Krishna because that's kind of hard. I had one friend who wanted to always remember Krishna, so he pasted Krishna's picture everywhere in his van. I mean everywhere. In the middle of the steering wheel, on the steering wheel, on the visor, on the windshield. I mean, he couldn't see as he was driving. So he definitely remembered Krishna. His name was Raghunath Puri, remember? Anyway, so everywhere he was remembering Krishna. So that's not what I'm prescribing. So this is an interesting verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam 6:15:55, which states, and I'll read the Sanskrit, Smartavya Satatam Vishnor. This is also in the Vishnu Purana too, the Padma Purana too. This Smartavya Nachatukjit Sarvi Viri Nishedha Shur Itayor Eva Kinkaraha. It says that Krishna is the origin of Lord Vishnu. He should never be forgotten at any time. All the rules and regulations in these scriptures are servants of these two principles. And so the other principle, as I said, there's two principles, is never forget Krishna. You know, erasing Krishna from our brain. So we're going to talk about ways to forget Krishna. We're going to teach you all how to forget Krishna. How about that? Oh my God! So we have to give instructions of how to be in Maya too. You know. So the first way is eating too much or collecting too much. This is from the Upadesha Amrita. Atyahara Prayasascha. So, why? Sorry, let's describe why. Because if one eats too much, one will actually just be completely absorbed in the body. The whole idea is to somehow or other focus your mind outside of the body. And so you're completely absorbed in the body, and you have less energy, of course, and less good health. And of course, then collecting too much means you're simply thinking in the mode of passion. Because we're talking about three modes of nature here, goodness, passion, and ignorance. Goodness is the mode from which you can jump off into the spiritual realm. That's sattva, raja, and tama. And passion just involves you in wanting more and more, and ignorance just makes you want to sleep and delay things, put off for tomorrow, procrastinate what you can do today. Another way to forget Krishna is called over-endeavoring. So I don't know if you can see the slide. It says Workaholics Anonymous. They're having a general meeting, and during the general meeting, they're just like working and taking notes and everything like that. So that means we may have certain objectives in life, in spiritual life and also in our own lives. And if we bite off more than we can chew, does everyone understand that? That means if you take such a big mortgage for your house that you have to work three jobs and your wife has to work three jobs, that's over-endeavoring. Then you won't have time for spiritual life and you won't be able to remember Krishna because you're going to be in anxiety all the time. And if you're in anxiety, Krishna says, if one doesn't have peace, how can you be happy? There's no happiness without peace. And of course, Krishna in the fifth chapter of the Gita gives the peace formula, you know, bhaktaram jagatapasam sarvalokamaheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gatvamam shanti mrichati. Peace formula is that you should understand Krishna is the enjoyer, Krishna is the proprietor, he's your friend, a friend to all living entities. So over-endeavoring is another way to forget Krishna. Another way is blah, 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 which is called prajalpa. Unnecessary talks about things that will not help you either in spiritual life or in your ordinary life. As Krishna says in the Gita, the austerities of speech are satya, priya, hitam. Speaking truthfully, pleasingly, beneficially. And so these things, talking unnecessarily deviates us from spiritual life. Another one is not following the rules of the Shastras. That's the robber over there. He's a thief. Or following them ritualistically, like that nice young girl who is driving the car, and it doesn't happen to be a Tesla on autopilot. She's sleeping. That's very, very dangerous. Actually, when I first took up Krishna consciousness, I was informed that you had to execute very severe austerities, which is not true, to become spiritually conscious. And one of the austerities, you couldn't sleep more than 5 hours a night. So I used to sleep while I was driving the car. Fortunately, it was just at the red lights. And I was woken up by the nice alarm of the car honking the horn behind me. Another problem that helps one deviate from Krishna consciousness is associating with worldly-minded people not interested in spiritual life. You may even recognize some of these worldly-minded people. I'm not going to mention their names. They're quite famous. They're in a pub, which is a bar. So we need to avoid these things. And the final thing is being greedy for mundane achievements. Like if you have a big house like that, I mean, how many rooms can you sleep in? And then, you know, I've got to have a bigger house and a bigger house and a bigger house to impress everybody. How many things do we do in this world to impress others? We're so concerned about our reputation, isn't it? You know, if we were to drive around in a 15-year-old, what's an old car? Honda. She has a 15-year-old Honda. Then it's embarrassing. What will people think of me? So, therefore, I have to buy a new car with big payments. So, anyway. So, these are some of the things that deviate us. Now, one of the things I wanted to talk about was following, this is a big one, people who follow the rules and regulations of spiritual life. Because there are certain rules and regulations. I mentioned before jokingly, we don't have the four regulated principles? We do. So we have four regulated principles. I'll make Krishna consciousness very easy. Four regulated principles. No, fish or eggs, I'll say it very quickly so you can't understand what I'm saying. No meat, fish or eggs, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling. How about that? Don't remember what I just said. And then we chant the Lord's holy names, 16 rounds of the beads, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. There's 108 beads in the strand, and usually takes an hour and a half, 2 hours a day, some people less, some people more. And so we have a tendency to put ourselves on automatic pilot, and this pilot put himself on an automatic pilot, put the plane at himself, an automatic pilot, and there's a whole story behind this. There were some pilots who put the plane on automatic pilot. They overshot the place where they were supposed to land. They had to send up some fighter jets to shoot them down because they thought the plane had been hijacked, like 9/11 type of stuff. And finally, they saw the fighter jets on the side. They turned around and landed. So many times we execute our spiritual life in the same move. On automatic, we're chanting and we're thinking of something else, or we just blank out our mind and we're not aware of what we're doing. This is called ritualism. I'm not against rituals, and not against incense, although I don't like it. So we're not against rituals, but the whole purpose of whatever ritual you do is to think of Krishna. It's a connected with Krishna somehow or other, with your spiritual advancement. If you're just doing rituals and you're not aware of what you're doing, why you're doing it, then it deviates you from actual spiritual advancement. And we should pick rituals. Of course, we have the basic principles. I'm not saying we pick or discard those, but we can pick other things that help us remember Krishna. Everyone should fix up whatever they can do apart from those regulated principles that will help them remember Krishna. So oftentimes we engage in inattentive chanting. Like Prabhupada one time, he was chanting his japa, and just to show us what our consciousness is like, when he finished his 16 rounds, he moved down his last counterbeam. These are counterbeams, in case you all don't know. You count each time you chant 16 rounds. It doesn't mean I just chanted 2 rounds, I chanted 18. So he moved down his last counterbeat and he said, wow, now I finished my japa, now I can do any damn thing. In other words, one just does the rituals to get them done. And once they're done, Hari Bol. So that's not good. So we should think, you know, what's going on in our minds? Because the whole purpose is to think of Krishna always. Or there's a verse in the Bhagavatam, Savai Manav Krishna Vidara Vindayal, to fix your mind or on the lotus feet of Krishna. So we should be continually thinking, you know, what's going on in our minds right now? You know, I'm chanting, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. But what am I thinking of? I mean, we'll give several examples in this regard. Many of us say these prayers before we take prasada. Like here's one, it's very interesting. I'm not going to read it, I'll read it. That way I'll save you the time of having to say it later on. Where's the ditcha? So we'll save the ditcha the trouble of saying it. Okay, we'll say it right now. Mahaprasana Govinday Nama Prabhani Vaishnava Swapa Punya Dhamma Rajan Vishasvo Naivajayateo. And the translation is, O King, for those who with little pious credit, faith in the Mahaprasadam, Sri Govinda, the holy name, and the Vaishnavas never arises, never arises. So, how many times do we say these things, and we don't really think about what we're saying while we're saying it? And of course, there's the other prayer, which I'm not going to read, right? I guess I should read, save you the time. That way you can eat immediately after the class. So, No, actually, it's an important prayer. This is the one Prabhupada taught us. Prabhupada never taught us the other one. Prabhupada, this prayer is, "Oh Lord, this body is a place of ignorance, and the senses are networks of paths. We just follow the senses and the uncontrolled mind, networks of path leading us away from Krishna or leading us to death. But Krishna is very kind to us." So in other words, the way I'm saying it right now, just to illustrate, is with some bhav or emotion. Oftentimes, because Krishna consciousness is meant to be executed from the heart, not just from the mind. We say remember Krishna, but it's not just remembering Krishna, it's actually connecting Krishna. We use the word connecting. Connecting Krishna to the heart. So there has to be some emotion there. You know, this is called bhakti yoga. The difference between bhakti yoga and every other yoga is that every other yoga, there's not the emotional component. In other words, you're doing, let's say hatha yoga, doing all these postures with the idea of controlling your senses and ultimately fixing your mind on Ishvara or Krishna. So let's say you're doing all those things, but there's not the emotional component. Oh, I love that asana. I think of it every day. Oh. You know, it's just not, huh? What's wrong with you? You know, so it's a step. It's not the goal. But Krishna consciousness is interesting because it's, or bhakti yoga is interesting, which is Krishna consciousness, because it's both the asaja and sadhana. It's both the process and the goal. So anyway, there's emotion there. So you have to be saying these things with feeling. Oh Lord, not the Lord is with here, wanting the way through ignorance and the sense of networks of bad. Even if you say it in English, sense of leading to death, but you were so kind of to give us this prasadama, prasadama, help us conquer the tongue, and let us take the prasadama, and we'll call out for Lord, did not your Lord, did not your Lord, help us. Or the way to do it is, oh Lord, this material body is causing me problems. You know, and then, phew, and you're so kind, oh my God. You have given us this prasada, mahaprasada, to help us conquer the tongue. Whew, thank God. So, it has to be some bhav there. You know, everybody likes bhav or emotion. I mean, why would you watch Bollywood movies unless they had some emotion? You know, you watch these Bollywood movies and one, the man says, I love you. And the woman says, so let's get married. I mean, what's the use of such a movie? So there has to be some, anyways, bhav. So that's the point I was making. Especially when chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, oh Lord, you know, please engage me in your service, please help me. And we have many other mantras, which I'm not going to go through right now. So, in order to have that bhav, okay, here, I'm going step by step, it's a very logical progression. You have to have some goal or mission. What is my goal? And spiritual life, it's like that too. What do I want to accomplish in this? What is my mission? Of course, in Sanskrit, that's called a sankalpa. That's a Sanskrit word. It means intention. What is my mission? And we should think about what our mission is. I mean, if your mission is not to enjoy spiritual life, become Krishna conscious, or advance in spiritual life, then be honest about it. Anyway, so what is your mission? Determination. And when you have that mission or determination, then you can actually accomplish something that's impossible. The possible becomes impossible. And you see this in the lives not only of spiritualists, you know, who have the spiritual mission in life, but even in the lives of people who were just like this, absorbed in the material world. When they accomplished something, you know, I was just reading A Society. It's nothing to do with it. Anyway, it does have something to do with the topic. He predicted a society that in which everybody was being looked at 24 hours a day. Sounds like familiar? You know, when you go on the internet and you look for something, and then somehow or other, everybody else knows what you're looking for. and you get emails, you know, well, we have this TV for you. So anyway, so the point I'm mentioning, the reason I'm mentioning him is because he was so determined. He had a terminal disease, and he wanted to present this to the world before he left his body. And so even in spite, he renounced everything, actually, he just did this, because that was his mission. That was his mission. Of course, he wasn't Krishna conscious, wasn't a Vaishnava, but I'm just presenting how mission focus can help one accomplish miracles in this world. And of course, we're hoping the mission focus will be on spiritual life. And so there's many examples of this in the Vedic literature, such as our friend Dhruva Maharaj, because his mission was not exactly spiritual in the beginning. What was his mission? Does anyone know? What? Yeah. Lord Brahma. He wanted a kingdom greater than Lord Brahma. So he was really determined. Of course, when he got it, he saw Krishna, and he thought, well, I was asking for the wrong thing. I was looking for some pieces of broken glass, but I found a beautiful gem. And, of course, we have Srila Prabhupada, who at the age of 70, sometimes we call that the Prabhupada years. That's my age, too. Anyway, so that he... For his whole life, of course, he was taking the order of his spiritual master as his mission. And because of that, he was able to do something miraculous. Coming to the Western world with no money, no resources, a few books, and within the space of 11 years, opening up like 108 temples and making thousands of people Vaishnavas. I mean, amazing, because of his focus. And of course, that's... We can make reference to the Bhagavad Gita. What is that? Vyavasayatmakabudhir ekeha kurunandana. 241. That one point of determination to do something. But there has to be some bhava, emotion. It can't simply be in the mental platform. It has to, I really want that. And that's, of course, called lalyam. The same greed we mentioned before that is a detrimental to spiritual life. The same greed can help one if it's focused on achieving the goal of spiritual life or serving Krishna, can help one achieve pure Krishna consciousness. So we all need to ask ourselves, you know, what is our mission in life? You can all think about that right now. Normally I would give people like 5 minutes, but we don't have a lot of time today. But think about today, you know, what is your mission in life? Not what you want. I know what you want, unfortunately, but what is your mission? You know, mission, not what you want, not your temporary goals, but what is my mission? What am I here for in this world? Not simply to reproduce. Of course, you may do that too. Not simply to make money. You may do that too. Not to cry in that. But what is the ultimate mission in life? And you know, what are your values in life? And then we should achieve determination. Let's say in spiritual life, we're talking about, obviously, I'm trying to encourage all of you to have as a mission to be spiritual, be Krishna conscious, and help others. I mean, help others become Krishna conscious. And that was Prabhupada's mission. Serve a spiritual master, bring people to Krishna, and help others bring people to Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving us some secrets in becoming determined in this way and achieving the goal. And these secrets are sometimes listed as the principles of Sharanagati. First one is to accept things that are favorable for achieving a goal. Even materially, this works. Let's say if you have some goal to be the President of the United States. Actually, one of the candidates for President of the United States was at the Rath Yatra yesterday. Did you know that? Yes. Tulsi Gabbard. Did you see her? Yes, she was at Rath Yatra. Nice. So if you have the goal to be the Krishna conscious president, that's not kind of nice. Then whatever fits into reaching that goal, you accept it. Whatever doesn't, you don't accept. So that's accepting and rejecting based upon what you want, what your mission in life is. And then to realize always for Krishna consciousness, Krishna will always protect you. What's that picture of, Ayush? Yeah, there was this, for those of you who don't know the story, there was an attempt to disrobe Draupadi, a great devotee of Krishna. And Krishna, she cried out for Krishna, and Krishna supplied unlimited clothes, unlimited sari for her. And also to understand that Krishna will always maintain you. Now, this may not be obvious why I'm using this particular picture. This is a picture of Magrari. Magrari was a hunter, and he was a real cruel hunter. He used to half kill the animals, and Narada Muni gave him a virtual reality experience. It showed him what his future would be if he continued killing, half killing animals. And Narada Muni said to him, "You got to break your bow if you want to become free from that bad karma." And he said, "How am I going to maintain myself?" And Narada Muni said, "I will personally arrange, or Krishna will personally arrange." And so here he is grieving Narada Muni after renouncing this world, his hunting at least, that he and his wife were maintained very nicely by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And here's Prabhupada, to have no separate interest other than the interest of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You see that Prabhupada perfectly exemplifies that, that he simply was focused on serving Krishna through the words of his spiritual master. And there's a picture of Rupa Goswami being humble. Humble doesn't mean to think less of yourself, but to think of yourself less. Everyone understands the distinction? Because generally we like to talk about ourselves, even in a derogatory fashion. I'm useless, I'm hopeless, worthless, I'm the most fallen. One time a devotee said to Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen. And Prabhupada said, "You're not the most anything." So we like to be very prominent. But to be humble means to understand what our mission is and what Krishna wants for us in that mission. And to accept that, because that's the goal of life. And as we mentioned before, one who has that type of determination, they can accomplish miracles. Here's a Vedic or a Krishna conscious example of that. This is the Big Bird. Not from Sesame Street, but this is the Big Bird. This is the Big Bird Garuda. And there's the story in the Vedic literature is how one time there was a little tiny sparrow. And the sparrow had lost its eggs. The ocean had sort of like taken away the eggs. And the sparrow was trying to dry up the ocean. Now, sparrows usually can't dry up oceans, can't even dry up a pond, to speak of the ocean. But the sparrow was so determined. And if one is determined, then guess what? Krishna helps. There's this interesting statement in the Bhagavad Gita. Ananyas chintayanto mam ye janak paripasate tesham natyupamam yogakshema vahamiham. For those who are dedicated to me, I carry what they lack and I protect what they have. And Krishna protects the devotees like that, even though they may not be capable themselves. So this is how we maintain this determination. So what I'd like to leave everybody with is the question that we should ask ourselves: what is my mission in life? What do I ultimately hope to accomplish? And what am I here for? And hopefully you'll come up with a Krishna conscious answer and focus on Krishna consciousness. It doesn't mean giving anything else up, because you can use everything you have in Krishna's service. We're not saying that everyone has to become a sannyasi, sannyasini, or something. And carry on a danda or a dandini for ladies. But to understand, what are my talents? What do I have? That's called yukta vairagya. And using it to serve Krishna, and according to your own ability, according to your own capacity, and then you'll be happy. You'll achieve all these withams, because everyone wants to be happy. Okay, so thank you very much. So any questions about any of these things? Questions, comments? Yes, Ricardo?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, you know, it's good to have a goal and, you know, you concentrate on it, but, you know, not get like just overly passionate. And I think that
yes.
is the difference between devotees and just like materialists. Materialists just get overly passionate, and then it just ultimately ends up in just maybe a little too much. Just ends up in like bewilderment.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And there's one verse in the Upadeshamrita that states that one should be enthusiastic, determined, and patient. Anyone know that verse? Starts with a U. Utsahan. Nistiyad Daryat Tatad Karma Pravartana. Thank you for bringing up that point. Okay. Anyone else? Yes. Yeah.
What does it actually mean? Like, is that something that happens after they leave their body, or is
it yeah.
they get that state? They, how do they enter that state?
Well, that happens after someone leaves the body, and they don't actually merge in the Brahma Jyoti. The Brahma Jyoti is the effulgence around the Supreme Personality of God, the Jyoti. And this Brahma Jyoti is composed of these individual souls who are floating in there. They appear to have lost their, let's see, individuality, but they haven't. And the example given in the Vedic literature is, actually in the Upanishads, it's like a green bird going into a green tree, or a parrot going into a green tree. The parrot appears to have disappeared. And then again, they fall down. Bhagavatam states that even if they go up to that Brahman platform without a personal relationship with Krishna, they come back to this world.
What's this about, like, you know, if like, you achieve that state and then it gets boring and then you, like, fall down to new, like material world?
Yes.
Is that, like, before or after?
That's after.
It's after the body and you...
Well, it may happen even while one is in the body, if one gets bored with the impersonal liberation, yes. You achieve a certain status, aham brahmasmi, but you have no, let us say, activities, interactions. And the soul is by nature active. It needs activities. It needs loving exchanges. We all have these different propensities. And the soul, if not fulfilled, will come back down to this world. Okay, so I think it's time. Nityanarayan, our sponsor.